Let's go to John 8:31 tonight. It's warm outside, or it was when I came in here at 5 o'clock, but praise the Lord. Glory to God. John 8:31, and you're going to like this. You know, we're in a time of correction and direction. And so I think this will help us tonight. Are you there? Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know the scripture, right? Mm-hmm. What is truth? Well, my definition for truth would be reality. And the best definition for reality is it's what you run into when you're wrong. You finally run into reality. Amen. You get that? Reality does not adjust itself to our illusions. Okay? Reality does not adjust itself to our illusions. Jesus is reality. Jesus knows the true nature of reality better than we do. Amen. His perception is acute. He's the most intelligent teacher to ever live. And his insights into problems and solutions for the human condition is the most piercing of all. He has the answer because he is the answer. He is the truth. Amen. Jesus has eyes to see things that we regularly miss. He sees things that we just overlook. Amen. Many times we seek to solve problems without dealing with root causes. Is that true? Now, we can just see that in the medical field. Symptoms are treated many times, but the underlying problem is still there. And, you know, that can be fixed sometimes, but we do see that when doctors are practicing medicine. And there are many other ways you can see it, but a lot of times just dealing with the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Now, church, we have all this science and technology and political theory, yet a lot of people are ignorant of the truth, and they're even ignorant of just facts. Okay? Social media will provide you a plethora of theories. Oh boy. Fake news can rise up when you're just spinning your own situation. You can feed yourself some of your own fake news. Come on. You sit around and spin it. Well, I'm going to do this because, and you spend all these reasons why you're going to, and God didn't give you any of them. Or you decide, well, this is going to happen, so I'm going to think up why I think so-and-so ought to do this. Come on. Let's just get out there. Fake news can be thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. It's easy to get off the track if you don't stay with the truth. So, you know, church, we're dealing with three enemies of the soul. Number one's the devil. Number two is the flesh. And number three is the world. Now, just for clarity here, they work together. All those three work together to steer you off course. It's a strategy. deceitful ideas that play into disordered desires that are normalized in a sinful society. I'll say it to you again. Deceitful ideas that play to disordered desires that are normalized in a sinful society. You've watched this play out in America. Those of you that are old enough, when you remember the 60s, when free love decided to happen, remember? Some of you are like, that was 20 years before I was born. Well, and you know, I mean, life was a little different in the 50s. And then in the late 60s, you know, when the hippie stuff came along, there was free love. And so sex left intimacy and was about getting my needs met. That's how people viewed it. And so the world system normalized that. Now, can you see how that's happened over and over until we're at this point right now where they've normalized people just getting their flesh satisfied on however they think it should be? See, but with you, you don't necessarily agree with all that. Why? Because you know truth. Because you know some truth. So you're like, what? They think that's normal? We don't think that's normal. Yet the world uses that, and quite frankly, there are things that the devil gives us ideas of, and then the flesh cooperates with, and then the world says it's okay. You with me? So this is the way this thing works. That's how the enemy works it. Now you know who the devil is. But when we're speaking of the world, we're talking about the system or the propaganda, everything that system is putting out there to try to grab you, how it operates. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the world. When we're talking about the flesh, we want to be clear about this. There's three words in the Greek for flesh, that we see in the New Testament. One of them is just your body. That's the flesh. The second is your ethnicity. So whatever you are, wherever you come from. And the third is corrupt desire. Okay. Now tonight we're talking about corrupt desire. We're talking about, it's all about me and what I want and me getting what I want. That's where I'm talking about. Just the carnal flesh, not necessarily just the five senses, but me, myself, and I. Okay. You get that. Okay. So, well, let's call it this, self-gratification. Okay. Let's call it that. That's a good way to put it. Now, all three of these are the enemy of the soul. They're there to mess you up. The devil suggests, the flesh desires, and the world normalizes. That's how it works. And listen, you could see just how extreme this got when they decided they were going to pass out clean syringes. You see that? Mm-hmm. This is what we want. So this is what we'll do to have what we want. That's why all these millions of babies already went to heaven. Because this is what we want. Okay. Now, so it's extreme. Now this is what we're going to do for tonight just to help us out. Let's take just one example of what we're dealing with here and see how this would help us, and we'll get to some answers here. A lot of people say, let's use this example. Let's talk about guilt. Now a lot of people could say, you know, guilt is of the devil. But church, the New Testament writers really don't talk about guilt as being the devil. They don't claim guilt to be bad. But I think, you know, we get, now honey, you don't need to feel guilty. You're a good person. We've heard that. Okay. Now, here in the West, we're raised on a diet of self-esteem, are we? Self-esteem, self-esteem, self-esteem. Okay. So to feel bad about yourself then is the ultimate evil. You're not supposed to feel bad about yourself. You're supposed to have self-esteem. See where I'm walking with this? Come with me. But really, it looks to me like there are two types of guilt-free people here. The first type of guilt-free person is the one who's achieved John Wesley's Christian perfection, where they're hardly sinning, and so they just don't have any reason to feel guilty. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Remember when sanctification, you understand that. So they don't have to feel guilty too bad. And then there's the sociopath. Come on. So the sociopath, they just sin with impunity. It's just like, I don't care. I'll do whatever the heck I want to, and I'm not going to feel guilty about it. That's how they think. They're just calloused. They have hard hearts. Okay? So and you know, no feeling, no guilt, no lingering, no nothing. They just don't feel bad about anything they do. And then there's the rest of us. And we feel guilty. But I'm gonna tell you something. Sometimes we should feel guilty. And you should just repent and get over it. Don't wallow around in it. Okay? All right. So, sometimes though it hangs around. And that's what I want to get at. Because when it hangs around, it's not guilt at all. And if we're going to fix this at its root, then we have to see the difference between guilt and shame. Because there's a difference between guilt and shame. And this is where people misunderstand. See, guilt is about the what. But shame is about the who. Okay? So guilt says, what I did was bad. But shame says, I am bad. Come on. Guilt thinks what I did was unloving and I need to go make this right. Shame thinks I'm unlovable and there's no hope for me. You feel the difference? You see the difference? So guilt could be a good thing. You're like, man, I feel guilty. I shouldn't have talked to them like that. Well, in a few minutes, you won't feel guilty because you just recognized it. Shame is almost never helpful. Most of the time, it's toxic. And I think that when we were little, maybe adults spoke to us in a way to where we got toxic. Remember that one teacher that got in your face and it just made you feel small and maybe took you a long time to get over it. A lot of people have dealt with that. But remember that one teacher who said you could do something. You know, I mean, you know how you have your password and all these things. So I was rewriting all my passwords in a nice place because I want to keep them safe and I have to add to them. And I noticed that on my questions, you know how you have to answer the secret question. So all of my questions, I won't tell you the person's name because then you could get into my passwords, but I noticed that they ask who's your favorite teacher and it's the same person over and over and over. Don't say it, Deb. Over and over and over. Why? Because she believed in me. She believed, and I love her. I mean, she's in heaven now, but you see what I'm saying? There was that someone or maybe your mother or an aunt or someone who just dug down into you and you felt ashamed or maybe you went to church somewhere and they made you feel so horrible about yourself because there have been those kind of churches. Amen. So, you know, shame is, it says I'm bad, I'm unlovable, I'm irredeemable. And then so you live out of that identity, which is a lie. And surprise, surprise, you live badly. Amen. We've seen that over and over and over. I did that for a number of years when I was younger. I just lived badly because thought I was bad. We used to say this, ooh, I've been bad and I know I've been bad. That used to be one of our sayings when we were real young. Ooh, I was bad. That's bad and I know I'm bad. But I'm not. I'm a child of the living God. Do I make mistakes? Yeah. But there's a difference. So you're healthy if you feel guilty sometimes. That means you're healthy. Yeah, stay with me. That means you're not a sociopath. Okay? Glory to God. Glory to God. That's a good thing. And really, church, I think this is a good idea. You could see, this will help parents correct their children. Okay? If a child feels bad about themselves when they make a mistake, then you can go easier on them. They're like, oh, no, I did that and I'm wrong. And so you can go, okay. You're admitting it. It's okay. So you can have some compassion and go with them in your correction with them. But if a child doesn't really seem to care, then that's when you up your level of discipline with the goal, not of punishment, but of, purgation, or you're purifying them. You're purging them. Does that make sense to y'all? So you're going to up that discipline because they're not sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You need to tell your brother you're sorry. Sorry. They're not sorry. They're not sorry. So you up your level of discipline.
Right.
until they realize they're sorry. And you know what that does, parents? That causes the right kind of guilt to get in there. They'll learn some moral things. Okay, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Y'all receive that? I think that's real good. I think it's real helpful. Keep them out of shame.
Yes.
You can keep them out of shame by just disciplining and not just, you're a horrible kid, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I brought you into this world and I can take you out, you know. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know what you mean, Margaret. Now, so we don't want them to pick up the habit of guilt suppression. So you can't just go, oh, honey, you're good. You're good. You don't. How many things have you seen on TV lately that says you deserve? You deserve. Now, there's nothing wrong with deserving some things, but you can tell this is coming from the wrong place. This is some propaganda to sell you something and making you think that you've been a victim, and so you need to be treated better.
Oh, yeah.
You see how the world gets involved in this?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we don't want them in self-deception. We don't want to be in self-deception. So we don't want them to dull their sensitivity to what we're going to call moral pain.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, Mom. This is wrong. I don't really like the word sorry. I like apologize. But you know, if you desensitize to your conscience, you're going to get in trouble in life. That's when you do come a sociopath. Okay, nothing bothers me. I'll do whatever I want to. Not good. Praise the Lord. Y'all are so quiet. Now, we're going to look at some answers to the three enemies. There's your example of what truth is. That's what I was trying to give you. Guilt versus shame. You need to know the difference and then you'll be in truth. See? Now, there's all sorts of things that you're going to find in the scripture that'll tell you the truth as opposed to what religion's going to try to tell you or the world's going to try to tell you. But now let's look at the answers here. So, and I'm just going to go for one tonight, and we're going to talk about the devil. And so we have to become aware of the devil's schemes. So, you know, around here, I know that you understand him because we've talked about it many, many times. But the Apostle Paul talked over in Ephesians about being aware of the wiles of the devil, the wiles of the devil. That is a Greek word that means with a road. It means with a road. And what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us here is trying to tell us that the devil has only one way to get to you. It's an avenue. What's at the end of an avenue? See, it stops. An avenue stops. The White House is on an avenue.
Yeah.
The Capitol's on an avenue. Pennsylvania Avenue. You look at an avenue, there's something there. It's going somewhere. So the devil has an avenue and he only has one trick. Remember, Jesus stripped him of his power. He doesn't have power, but he does have intellect. He can think right. And in his thinking, what he wants to use, that one road, is deception. He wants to deceive you so he can use your power, so he can make you open your mouth. And when you open your mouth, then you just took the situation. That's why Jesus said, take no thought saying. You don't take the thought unless you say it. But when you say it, you sow the seed, because you are made in the image of God. And God had to say things to create them. You have to say things to create them, good or bad. Either way, you're going to have to say it to create it. And so the devil wants you to say it. So his word, the word devil in Greek is diabolo, hit until it penetrates. And you go ahead and say, I'm never going to blah, blah, blah. Or I'm so sick, I'm about to die. Or it tickled me to death, or blam, or she don't really love me, or whatever it is. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start that cycle because you said it.
Yeah.
Y'all know this stuff. So we have to be aware of his schemes. And that is the scheme. He brings you into that deception, and that's his device, we'll call it. His device is deception. And then when you take that, you begin to move forward down his trail. And so we become aware of the wiles of the devil, and we take care of that. So demon activity then would be about you having thoughts that you take and act on. Or you keep thinking and you won't let it go. You stay on, you're reeling it, and you stay on that subject. And every day you get up and you're thinking about it. Or you're figuring, or you're working on it, or you, I can't believe this happened to me, or whatever, and you stay on it and stay on it and stay on it. Praise the Lord. We don't have to. So, that's what demon activity is. And so, to fight these things, look at your mentor, Jesus. How did Jesus fight these things? Now I'm gonna mention two things just briefly, and we can talk about them later, and then we're gonna deal with the main thing. You may not be aware of this. I don't know if we've ever gone into detail about this, but this is really going to help you when there's junk trying to come in. And that is, quiet time is good. Quiet time is good, because without solitude, we're victims of our society, and we get entangled with these illusions of a false self. You start losing who you are. Are you with me? You're not thinking correctly. But if you can get off by yourself in the quiet, those illusions will be exposed. Come on. Come on. Start thinking with Jesus. I was walking out on my sidewalk today, and I said, I'm thinking with you. I am thinking with you right now. Show me. I'm thinking with you. I'll take the correction. I'll take the direction. I'm thinking with you. What are we doing? What are we doing? So when you get out there and you're by yourself and you're fishing, or you're walking, or you're driving your truck by yourself, or whatever it is you're doing, and he has a chance to say something to you or make you aware, you get this unction, or you're like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you have a choice. You can either linger in that or make the choice to create a new image. Come on. That's good. You get it?
Yeah.
I've been thinking this. Oh, yeah. What am I saying? I've been thinking like this. What am I doing? And then it came to the surface because the Holy Spirit brought it up. And then you go, you know what? I can change this right now. And you'll say this, that's not my thought. I'm not going to be thinking about that anymore. I'm going to think about this. Amen. So quiet time is good. And it will really help you if you give attention to the thoughts, so that then you can make new ones. Amen. Now the second thing is, and I'm just going to touch on this briefly because I think we talk about this a lot. Filter out the junk coming in. Yeah, there's too much of it. I promise you that. And so, you know, we get together, we talk about stuff, we talk about what is going on in the world and everything. There's nothing wrong with that, but just don't overload too much. And I mean, social media can really overload you. TV can overload you, anything. Filter what you watch. Amen. It's all there and can be for good purpose, but it also, if you're too much into it, you know, if you can stay on Facebook for 7 hours, you might want to think about, you might want to think about edging off a little bit. Amen.
Sure.
Praise the Lord. You want to, or maybe a lot, but you know, start filtering out the junk, including songs that are messing with you. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you. There's some things, boy, you can just get all creepy with it. Start singing them songs about how your former life, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, you know, just, well, I mean, do you want to have success or not? I mean, Like I told you Sunday, if you don't like all this, we will be happy to refund you your misery. Okay, now, let's just finish with this. Let's talk about Jesus answered the devil with scripture. Okay. So you're going to have some quiet time, which right then is when you're filtering out stuff. Or you could be if you wanted to. You could do a lot of it right there. Okay. So then now we have Jesus answering with scripture. Y'all know he went out into the wilderness, he fasted, and then the devil came and said blah, 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 blah. And he, what'd he say? It is written, it is written, it is said. What's he doing? Scripture. He's talking back. Hey, this is the one time you can talk back and not get in trouble for it.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. You can talk back to the devil. You could talk back to the demons. You could talk back to the darkness. You could talk back to sickness. You could talk back to lack. You can talk back to it. Talk back. So, it is written, it is written, it is said. He answered the devil in the wilderness. Listen, church, there's just more behind this demonic attack than thoughts. This is darkness. It's darkness. That's why you feel that influence. Don't you feel an influence when you fear? Come on, be honest. You go, oh, and you start feeling that on the inside. And then, so there's influence that comes when they talk to you, specifically if they're familiar spirits and they've been watching and they know what riles you up. They know how to push your buttons. Know your enemy. Dark energy. So if they have this dark energy when they're talking, then you need something bigger. Because you're no threat to the devil in your flesh.
Yeah.
You're born again believer, but you're no threat to him. You need some power. The power is in the word.
Yes, amen.
How do I know that? Go to Mark 4. Go to Matthew 8. Go to, don't go, but go to Luke 13. I think I had those two backwards. Talk about the sower sows the word. And say, the enemy comes for the word's sake. He's trying to steal the word out of you. He's not afraid of you. He hates that word because that word will change your life. And when you quote it, it will not return void. Amen. So he answered with scripture. Scripture is bigger than any dark force. So I want to say something to you. We don't immerse our minds in scripture to gather data. We don't do it to memorize facts for a theology test. The goal is not information. The goal is spiritual formation. This is how you're building capacity. This is how you're building your faith, is you're putting this word in there so you will believe. Amen. So you have the mind of Christ then. You think like Jesus thinks. You fill your mind with thoughts of God so regularly and so deeply that it literally rewires your brain. And so then you don't, the next step doesn't come. You don't start getting all messed up in the flesh and then the world takes over and helps you with that. You go, I'm not doing that. And I don't agree with their trying to normalize that. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
See, when you're drenched with the word, you're like, no, I'm not taking defeat. No, I'm not taking it. We were just a loser. No, I'm not. I win. Over and over I win. Amen. Every time. And that's the kind of attitude you have to have, and there's scripture for that. Who is it that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. We overcome the world. That's who we are. That's what this church is based on, that scripture. We are overcomers. We're the Nikes. We have victory. Amen. We are overcomers. And so that has to get so instilled in you that when dark forces try to come, you go, no. But I want to show you something. If you didn't get anything out of anything I said, I want you to get these next few things that I say to you. There's no right way to read the scripture. Some people read a little at a time. They read slow. This is what I do. And they stay on a scripture and they ring it out. They get everything they can out of it. There's a name for that. I can't think of it. There's a term for it. And then there's people that read chapter after chapter after chapter. They take in a lot. And then there's people who listen to the word. All those things are right. They're all good. That doesn't matter. But here's the thing that does matter. The key is not to think about the scripture, but to think scripture. The key is not to think about the scripture, it's to think scripture. Everybody got it? You got it? Think scripture. Well, I'm starting this new project and it sure could be a disaster. Now think scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. I just thought scripture. I didn't think about it. I thought it. I answered it. I just thought scripture. Get to the place where you're not thinking about the scripture, or just talking about the scripture. You are talking scripture. You are thinking scripture. That is good, isn't it? It's a deeper step into this thing. Well, you know, no. Well, my wife and I were just a bad fit. I should get a divorce. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Think the scripture. Don't fight it head on. Don't fight it head on. Just change the channel. Man, we're just broke right now. We're just broke. We just don't have any money. We don't. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it.
Yep.
Change the channel.
Yep.
Man, I just am sick as a dog. Bless the Lord, all my soul and all that's within me. Bless his holy name who heals all my diseases.
Yeah.
I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Think scripture. Talk scripture. Talk back. Talk back. And don't just, now I do this all the time. I'll just say to the enemy, shut up. That's not true.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But let's add scripture to it.
Yeah.
Because it'll stop him in his tracks. Here's a good one. Well, you know, I haven't been much good. And, nobody loves me. And nobody at the church ever talks to me. Not one person. They don't. You know, it's just, I don't know. I just have a bad personality, I guess. I am accepted in the beloved. That's what the scripture says. I'm accepted by the beloved and in the beloved. And the church loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Think scripture. Well, I can't seem to get what I want. How do I get to the next point? How do I get to the next point? Think scripture.
Amen.
Think scripture. Think with him. What is the next step? Life's always going to be about favor. It's going to be about divine appointments with people. And it's going to be about you having some goals.
Amen.
It's not going to be lay down on the couch, which some of you look like you need to right now. Y'all falling asleep. We're going to go in 3 minutes. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did that help anybody?
Oh, yeah. It did.
Yeah.
I got corrected.
You got corrected?
I did.
Praise the Lord.
Good.
Think scripture. Mm-hmm. Realize what's going on. Those enemies get together.
Yes.
And they look how they've moved America down the path. When I was a little kid, we didn't have this kind of stuff going on. Back when I was a little child, and then before y'all know, I mean, this kind of blows some of our hair back to see some of the kind of things that they actually sit in the chamber and let come out of their mouth in the government.
Yeah.
I'm like, What? Okay. But it's the system trying to slide you along and normalize you. Can I tell you that? I'm going to tell you this, and you want to grab this. It is the plan to make you a victim. That's the plan. It's not to help everyone because we love everyone. You're not loving everyone by letting them be normalized into things that aren't right. You're not helping people. And they act like that so many groups are trying to be helped, but it isn't helping them. That's not really what's behind it. They're wanting to make you a victim. Because if you become a victim, you'll have to depend on someone. But according to the Bible and according to our Constitution, we're supposed to be able to grow up and have the freedom to answer our call. To have the freedom to become who we want to be and who God wants us to be in this country. Don't fall for the victim mentality. It's real easy. You know, we think, oh, so-and-so's a victim. Well, watch out for yourself. Because it's real easy to do that. They want to slide you along. Well, I don't know why. Nothing ever works for me. Well, maybe you've only taken step one and you need to take step two and three in life. Church, faith is always going to be about you listening to the Holy Spirit and taking the next step. And the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Well, I want it all and I want it now. See, that's that flesh we were talking about. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Yeah, but you don't know how bad I need money. I've been there. Sure have. Glad I'm not there anymore. But I tell you this, I do know how you feel. I absolutely do know. But I also know how to overcome it. We can build capacity for faith and you can take the mountains. Yes. You can get what you need. But you have to take some steps and learn to live with ideas and concepts and witty inventions and take what you do well and take the next step with what you do well. Amen. Amen. Move in what God gave you. I've actually been talking to myself about that. The last 5 days, I've been saying, okay, now, Lord, let's talk about what I need to do next. And I fully believe he'll show me. Amen? He's going to show you. He'll show you the next step. You believed you received whatever it is, relationship, healing, projects, prosperity, whatever it is. Now look for the next step. I can tell you the next two steps, actually. One of them is going to be pray and the other one's going to be sow a seed. Yeah. And then from there, what's the step? If you've done those things, then get the next step. There's something you can do. There's absolutely something you can do. Father, we thank you for our internet audience. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing on their lives. Father, I thank you that they'll not stay in any kind of shame, that they'll always understand guilt to repent and get right out of it, make the change. And Father, I thank you that they're going to understand to think Scripture, not think about Scripture, but think Scripture. Answer the enemy with Scripture in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.